And welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. A day 386. How are we all doing? Oh, it's an exciting day here. In fact, do you know, I really do think it's worthy of a drum roll. And when I say a drum roll, I mean a proper drum roll, not one of mine. Yes! It snowed! I can't believe it! It's Easter Monday and it snowed.
Come on, Lola.
We've got Lola pictures to prove it. It snowed. Not much. Other places have had it much worse than we have, but it snowed. Good grief. Unbelievable. Oh, hello, Renee. First in. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan had a little walk. I bet this is an almighty long walk, isn't it? An almighty long walk. It'll be one of Jonathan's epics. Good grief, Jonathan. Is that... I thought that said Bakewell. No, it says Rakewood, doesn't it? Ooh. Where's that in relation to civilization? I don't know that. Hollingworth Lake. Don't know that either. Not here, very rural, me. No. I'll tell you what, I'll do the maps thing. We'll go to Google Maps and I'll look up, where was it? Hollingworth Lake, and I will find it. Hollingworth Lake. And I've got to tell you this story. There it is. Right, let's have a look. Oh, it's up near Rochdale, other side of Rochdale. Did you enjoy yourself, Jonathan? That's the thing. Did you enjoy yourself? Oh, wow, that's quite a way, isn't it? That is quite a way. We're obviously on the other side. Yeah, we're on the other side of town. 40 minutes drive from Jonathan. Well, as long as you enjoyed it. Oh, Jonathan had some snow as well. A light dusting. Yeah, we caught it on camera. You can just see some white streaks. And there's about 3 flakes on Lola. So we'll hold on to those for Friday. But yes, it snowed. I had my doubts, but no, it snowed. Oh, poor Kim. Kim's in a Zoom meeting, but she's missing us. Okay, let's say hi, Kim. Right, missing you too. Right. And it snowed where Renee is as well. That's amazing. Isn't the weather's just insane, isn't it? Not quite as barking mad as our Prime Minister, but getting there. Blustering Boris. Oh, he was in his very, very, very expensive press room today, talking through his, no, I mustn't go there. No, I mustn't. I mustn't get political. Basically, it's all going tickety-boo. And it's going to be absolutely fine and all over by the 21st of June. Didn't say which year, but... Oh, but they did give him one dodgy question. Did you see this, Jonathan? One dodgy question. It was about... I can't remember what country it was. But basically, their vaccination programme has been going equally as well as ours, if not better. And they've just had to close their borders because it's all kicked off again. And I'm thinking, how? If the vaccination programme's finished, how? But he didn't elaborate. He blustered. He blustered and ummed and ahed, as per usual. Oh, poor Renee missed the press conference. Don't worry. Take the edited highlights. He was talking through his proverbial again. Everything's fine. He's going out for a pint on the 12th. And that was about the highlights of it. There you go. All sorted. Saved you watching it there. Hello, Anthony. Good walk for Jonathan. About halfway in the countryside, but you thought it was bad as it was quite steep. That happened to me once, Jonathan. I've only really gone on that kind of walk once. It was when I went down to Devon, Cornwall. It was gorgeous. So I was at this place near Bovey Tracy. And there was this nature walk, it said. It promised a beautiful nature walk. And I'd taken my tripod and my camera. Now, actually, no, I hadn't taken my tripod. I'd taken my camera. But while I was there, I found this amazing shop. It had loads of camera gear. second-hand shop, but it was just a general second-hand shop as well, so there was loads of other stuff. So instead of it being like quite expensive because it was second-hand camera gear, the guy was just like, oh, second-hand, whatever it is, and he put a price on it, and there was this tripod. I'd never had a tripod before, they were that expensive. So I'm like, oh, so I went in and I ended up with like five lenses and a tripod. So this nature walk was like, I'll try my new tripod out. So off we went. I got about 100 yards into it and the road forked and it said light walk and then to the right, more interesting walk, but more difficult. So the first one said, you know, like for people with buggies and prams. I thought, no, I'm not a buggy and pram person. Come on, you know, I'll take the other one. Well, I got about another 50 yards in. It was like the north face of the Eiger. But the problem was by then I was at the bottom of it. So I thought, no, this is going to be a bit tricky. You know, and I only had trainers on. I wasn't equipped for hiking. I turned round and I looked at what I'd come down and I thought, there's no way you're getting back up there. So failure's not an option, girl. You're going to have to go on and finish this. So I did. Never again. But I did get some amazing photos. There you go. Oh, so what were we discussing last night that was fabulously funny? Glamping and lady pipes. You are not going to believe this, but this is good. Don't blink and miss it. So last night, we have a programme in the UK called Line of Duty. I've mentioned it before. It's a crime drama thing, but it's at the end of like really, really serious, intricate police drama. This is not Midsummer Murders, right? Which is a giggle. I'm not going to say it, but it's not a giggle. It's a giggle. But you know how it's tongue-in-cheek. Line of Duty, not tongue-in-cheek. So Line of Duty was on one side, Midsummer Murders was on the other. I can't abide adverts. Won't watch them at all. So I thought, no. One, somebody will spoil Line of Duty for me. So I'm going to watch it live. One of the very, very few programmes I watch live. The other one, Midsummer Murders, I thought I'll download it and watch it later, and that way I don't have to deal with the adverts. So, picture the scene. I've watched Line of Duty. I've then watched three episodes of Between the Lines from 1991. Absolutely fabulous. And I then download Midsummer Murders. Midsummer Murders starts. And I had to stop working. I was laughing that much. The first thing was they were on a campsite and I thought, well, nothing of it. Surely no one was using a lady pipe during Line of Duty. Well, you never know. But trust me on this is good. So I looked and I thought camping and I turned around. It was not camping. It was glamping. It was glamping. Proper glamping, like the pictures that Tony sent with bivouacs and double beds. I thought, I'm sat there open mouthed with like, what? And obviously you're wandering around and you're seeing all the things that they have in the glamping ground. Not the camping ground, the glamping ground. Well, I'm rolling on the floor. Yeah, now, you should also know about Mike and I saying, if you want to know what something means that you don't understand, it's obviously got some double meaning of which you are unaware, then there's always the Urban Dictionary. But we say never, ever venture near the Urban Dictionary. It doesn't matter what you're looking up. It has some very dodgy connotation. Everything on the Urban Dictionary has a dodgy connotation. So again, I just about calmed down from the fact that this thing was wall-to-wall glamping. When the main character said, call it what it is, it's camping. I like my words from pre-2000. That was it. They carried on the conversation. And then as this main character left the scene, he said, I'm going off to find an Urban Dictionary so I can understand what you're saying. Well, again, rolling on the floor. Right. At that point, you know, so the whole programme was about, Tony's in. Excellent. Right. We're talking about glamping. Right. So the entire programme was about glamping. Now, who remembers an advert? This is in the UK. It was an advert and it turned out to be Prudential Insurance. And I think it was from the early 90s. So Jonathan would have been a baby. But there was a guy in this advert and he's called Mark Williams. I always thought he was a comedian, but no, he's not. He's a serious actor, apparently. So there's the programme that I'm talking about. Well, this guy, many moons ago, did this advert and it became a classic. You know, like an advert where something is said and it becomes a classic. People keep quoting it to each other. I'll give you an example. Another one was an insurance company again. I did it on the internet, David. And that line, "I did it on the internet, David," in the early 2000s, became like a line everybody would say to each other. "Oh, I did it on the internet, David." You would add the David on because that was the quote. Well, I'll put a link into the Prudential Garden ad. But basically, the guy in the ad, Mark Williams, is a Brummie. He's from Birmingham. And he's got this really broad Birmingham accent. And he's sat next to his like girlfriend or wife-to-be. And he's saying things like, you know, we want to enjoy ourselves a little. And she's saying, if you watch the ad, she in her mind, she's not saying it, but you can see her eyes going and her voice is like VOing it. And she's saying, "I want to go out every night." And then it comes to this bit in the ad. And he says, "Want to be in the garden," which is how they would pronounce garden in Birmingham, garden. And her eyes go wide as anything. And then it finishes with, "We want to be together." And you look at her face and he's like, no, she doesn't want to be together. So that's the actor. OK, it's classic, isn't it? It's a classic ad. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, you're back again.
Waiting for her to have a drink, then I'm going to the toilet.
Right, that's fine. So, right, we've all got this now, have we? This actor that was in this thing. So the first picture I'm going to put up on Cloud, if I can get it up there, Cloud app, is the bivouacs and everything from the glamping. Okay, so that's the first one that's going up. That's the glamping site that we saw. But towards the end of the episode, there was a running theme all the way through it that the hot tub wasn't working. Anyway, our hero, Mark, manages to get this. Don't miss this, Jonathan. Do not go until you've got this. He fixes the hot tub and then gets in the hot tub. So before you go, Jonathan, you need to see the hot tub. What a night I had watching that. Oh, I know I shouldn't laugh, but oh, he was fantastic. He was absolutely fantastic. And Jonathan, that was on Midsummer Murders. I've got this vision of your grandparents watching Midsummer Murders and thinking, oh yes, we don't want any bad language or nudity. It's Midsummer Murders, for crying out loud. You know, there are no bad words in Midsummer Murders. No, but there was somebody's backside. Oh, I didn't see that much flesh in Line of Duty. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. There you go, Jonathan, you can go now. Now I've emblazoned that on your brain. Sorry about that, Jonathan. That's why I had to tell the story early doors, because I couldn't have Jonathan missing that one. So it's available if you're in the UK. It's available on demand. So, you know, you wouldn't want to miss it, like I'm saying. Oh, what fun. What can I say? Anthony's never seen the appealing hot tubs. Well, me neither, to be honest with you, I must admit. But Carolyn and Kath got a hot tub, I think it was last summer. And they only put it away about end of October, and they're threatening to get it out again. But obviously, you know, it snowed today, so probably not. They love it. They listen to By Request in the hot tub all night. But no, it's not for me. I just thought that was an absolute classic. I couldn't believe it. You know, Midsummer Murders is, you know, the safe programme. Absolutely, totally safe programme that you could get your granny to watch. And then what do I find? One of my favourite actors, half naked in it. And you know, he is so good. He really is such a good actor. How he kept a straight face in the We Want to Be Together ad, I don't know. But my dad would wander around going, "We want to be together," for years. He was still saying that, probably the year he died. It was an iconic ad, and I thought he was absolutely fabulous in Midsummer Murders. Imagine getting the script for that. Marcus Father Brown, he is. I think I've only seen one episode of that. I just think he's an amazing actor. He really is. You know, you listen to him and you assume he went to like a comprehensive in Birmingham. He actually went to Cambridge to read English. I had no idea. Normally, when somebody goes to Cambridge, Oxford, Cambridge or London in particular, you get ridiculed if you've got an accent. And I mean any kind of accent. My best friend at university came from Birmingham. Thus, she had a very broad Birmingham accent. And she hated it. So when she very first met me, she'd been there a couple of months, I think, when I rolled up. And she said, "Where, you know, where are you from?" So I said, "Manchester." So she said, "How long did it take you to get rid of the accent?" I said, "What accent?" You know, I always sound like that. And she said, "No, I would not have, you know, should I watch? I've seen Coronation Street and you don't sound like that." So I was rather pleased with that. So she said, "I've got to lose this accent. I've got to." And she spent 4 years trying to lose her accent, which is sad in a way, you know, but that's how everybody was. That if you had an accent, you needed to lose it. It was frowned upon. So if you could possibly sound like Princess Diana, that would be amazing. Probably not Prince Charles, but Princess Diana, that was good. Other than that, he had to lose it. So to think that he'd managed 3 years through Cambridge and kept his accent, good on him. Good on him, I say. I thought it was sad that everybody around me was trying to lose their accents. There was one guy from Northern Ireland. He was definitely trying to lose it. And my friend Sonia, who was trying to lose it. And after 4 years, she said, "The thing is, I can still hear it like a Birmingham twang." And I said, "Just be you." Literally, just be you. But she was trying and trying and trying, poor girl.
Are you back in here?
I believe he is in Harry Potter, not that I've seen a Harry Potter. Doesn't he play one of the Weasleys? Or am I getting totally confused with somebody else? Who have I seen in Harry Potter? Oh, the idiot that plays Harry Potter. And I say the idiot, honestly. You know, when he started in Harry Potter, he was about, what, 10, 11? A good few years later, when he was still in Harry Potter, like the last two Harry Potters, we had How I Lost My Virginity all over the papers. And I thought, really, do we need to see this? It was an older lady. She's an actor. I thought, oh, no, no, no. Can't be doing with that. So that idiot, Daniel something. Who else do I know? Oh, the one that I adored, Alan Rickman, thought he was brilliant. He was brilliant in everything he was in. And how he made Snape, like, in any way likable, I don't know, but he did. Yeah, I did see about 5 minutes of a Harry Potter. That was it. And I've also half listened to the first Harry Potter. They made it free at the beginning of lockdown, so I started listening to it. I'm up to the Quidditch game. The first Quidditch match I'm up to. Oh, he's Dad Weasley, is he? Oh, right, okay. I don't think I've seen him in that then. The 5 minutes I saw, he wasn't in it. There was an owl. There was an owl and Hermione sticking a hand up with, like, pick me, pick me. And I just looked and thought, all those kids at school that you loathed. Yep. Who else did I see? I saw Snape and I saw a guy, I think his name's Felton. Is it Tom Felton? Blonde haired guy. And what shocked me with that, why I took any notice, was I'd just seen him in a murder series. Only in the murder series, he's about 28. I looked at this Harry Potter. I think it was the first one. He looked about 10. But you know, he still looked identical. He looked totally identical. So there was no mistaking who he actually was. Oh, it was great fun. So that was my evening. Right, daytime, what do we do? Because obviously it's a bank holiday here. And we are on holiday. Oh, I've met Maggie Smith. She was fantastic. She was very intimidating when you meet her, though. Very intimidating, just like all the characters she plays. It was 1986 and I was in London to do my exams. And I was a big fan of Edward Fox. I thought he was a fantastic actor. Unfortunately related to Lawrence Fox, but that's another story entirely. So he was on in a play at the Queen's Theatre and it was called Interpreters. He actually learnt Russian for the part. He wasn't just, you know, doing like rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. He actually, when he was speaking Russian, and the play was called Interpreters, so you can imagine, it was actual Russian, which the day I rolled up to watch it was just as well. It was like there was a time lapse in it. I went to the matinee and there was an entire coach load full of Russian people. So what's happening on the stage is there's like this big reveal, and he's got this cable in his hand and he's doing the interpreting. So first of all, you hear the answer in Russian and then he interprets it. And as he's interpreting, he's like interjecting his own bits and he's unplugging the headphones of the person that he's doing the interpretation for. And the thing was, all of these Russian must have been brilliant, because all of these Russian people in the audience, there was about 60 or 70 of them, were laughing like 30 seconds before the rest of us because they were hearing it in Russian and understood it. We were like, what are they laughing at? We had to wait until it was translated. Unbelievable. But Maggie Smith was his co-star in it. So I went to the play and I got like a couple of programmes and a book. So I've actually got that on the shelf. Must read that again. It was very, very good. So I wanted to get the programme signed, but I couldn't hang around because I was there for 2 weeks staying at college. It's a private college, an American college in the middle of Regent's Park, called Regent's College. And I had these exams to do. So I was all over London. I was literally all over London. So I waited till the other matinee. And then I headed down there with this programme, got talking to the stage door hand. And I said, you know, do you think I've any chance, or are they not, do they generally not do that? It took me a while to find the stage door, because these theatres, this is on Shaftesbury Avenue. There's like 5,000 theatres on Shaftesbury Avenue. It's like, and it says stage door. Yeah, which one? I'm looking for the Queen's. Which one? Anyway, I found it, got talking to him. And he said, oh, no. He said, they'll be fine. He said, there's only Maggie Smith who's a bit sort of, she can be a bit prickly. But there was, Edward Fox was great. No problem at all. Lovely to meet him. There was another guy. So everybody that was in it, you know, I'm stood there with the programme. And it was like, oh, would you like me to sign it? So yeah, fine. But there were two people. One was a, you know, I didn't really know this guy much until this play. And he was lovely. Stayed to chat for ages. And another one, you might know this one. If you know One Foot in the Grave, there was a lady played the neighbour, Mrs. Warboys, Doreen Mantle. She is an amazing actress. I think she played the Russian granny in this. And I so wanted to get her to sign it as well. And she did. And I was saying, like, you know, I really loved you in the play. And, you know, you might not want me to mention it, but I love you in One Foot in the Grave. She couldn't have been nicer. So I'd got everybody. And then there was just Maggie Smith. And I thought, well, I won't bother. You know, after what the stage guy had said. And then the stage hand said to me, the stage door guy said, she's here, she's in that taxi, that's her taxi, she comes every day in that taxi. And I was like, I'm stuck there then, like, what do I do? So I thought, well, I'll just stand here with the programme and maybe, like, make eye contact. Very, very gently. You know, she dived out of this taxi and I thought, she's not going to stop. And she stopped. So obviously I said please and thank you very nicely, but she did. She wasn't there to have a chat like everybody else.
Not like Peter.
No. She was okay. You know what I mean? But not over chatty. Let's just say not over chatty like everybody else was. Everyone else was absolutely lovely to talk to. But no, she was fine and she signed it. So I've still got that. Oh, I love that. So yes, I have actually met Maggie Smith. Renee's been on the couch all day. Very sore back. Nothing a painkiller can't handle. And Tony's on the couch with the back pain, or laying on the couch. It's great. That's a good question, Tony. That is a good question. Did I see Tracy Ullman as Maggie Smith? No, I didn't. But I need to see this clearly, don't I? Hello, Tracy. Tracy, do go back up the chat. Do go back up the chat and follow the story of Midsummer Murders. You'll know the picture. Tracy will remember the ad, surely. Do you remember an advert, Tracy? There was a guy in it, Birmingham accent, and he says, we want to be in the garden.
We want to be together.
And then you look at her face and she does not want to. The Prudential insurance ad, that. It's him in the photo, just in case you're wondering, because there's no head on it. But the head wasn't important, was it? And plus the fact it wasn't on the screen when I took the screen cap. Absolutely fabulous. Oh, indeed. Right, I shall follow your adventures in Slack shortly. So, what did we do? Oh, yes. Well, we've got this thing on Friday night in After Hours, which is the Grand Tour. So our Notion 2021 season comes to an end. You'll probably be grateful if you don't use Notion on Friday with the Grand Tour. So it's all the things that we've built, how I pulled them together, not in the demo site, but actually in the real site. And there was things that, like, we were in the middle of a build from our MacBytes 1.0 dashboard to our MacBytes 2.0 dashboard that needed finishing. So we've done all of that, haven't we?
We have.
We have. I've actually managed to get my Stream Deck set up. It haven't had it for 4 months. Oh, I am bad. I didn't install the driver, and then I wondered why it wasn't working. Anyway, I've got it working. So I can say that that is working. That in itself was interesting, because part of the problem, I don't think it was working initially, was that I told you I had a USB hub and it worked fine on the other Mac, but this one doesn't want to know. So that's why I bought that hub the other week, and I need to finally get it installed and get it working. Oh, so we're licking our fur, are we? Only a bit, Mummy. She's been so hungry today, hasn't she?
She has.
She's actually eaten some treats that have been on the floor for about 4 days. She walked past them with disgust, as though, I'm not eating that. What do you think I am? Anyway, today's like, I'm starving. Give me that treat from 3 days ago. So she's finished the lot. Finished the lot. Oh, Tracy doesn't remember the ad. Well, the link's in there, Tracy, to a version of the ad on YouTube. It's worth a watch. It's a fabulous ad. It was one of those adverts that it just took the imagination. We were talking about the other one when you weren't here. I saw it on the internet, David. That was the AA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Got AA coverage on the internet, David. You've got to add the David, or it makes no sense. Right, I'm going to open that link in there. Right, I bet she's always fantastic. Oh, she actually looks like Judi Dench there, doesn't she? Dame Judi Dench causes havoc. She actually does look like Dame Judi Dench on that. I will watch that later. Oh, it's only 1:25, but then I'd have Echo on it, so I will watch that later. Have I seen Pete's plea for help? No, I haven't seen Slack today. We've been up to our armpits in reorganising Notion. What's it a plea for help about? Give me a clue, Tracy, and then I'll head off.
Something to do with Affinity, I think.
Yeah, but which bit? Which bit, Mike? Which app?
I can't find it.
There's a start.
I read it.
Which app?
Workspaces, MacBytes.
Oh, he's in another workspace.
Oh, it's in your workspace. I've got the what are they called? Glamping pictures from last night. Planning a secret birthday party for September. Need to sort out a list of guests, invites, RSVP statuses and dietary requirements. I remember Elaine covered this a few months ago. Can anyone remember which show? Started as a spreadsheet of invitees and email addresses, which were merged in Affinity Publisher for an individualised invite.
Oh, that was the party invite, thing we did.
Yeah, the invite included a QR code that led to a Google form.
It's genius, isn't it, these days? Yeah, it was when we did Ladies' Night, so it must have been... That was a long time ago.
You said Ladies' Night and not Ladies' Pipes.
No, not Lady Pipes. Mike, get your mind back on Ladies' Night. It was... I think we would have done it the week after Ladies' Night in 2019. Yeah. And it was before you could do data merge. So what it was doing it in Notion... And then exporting it from Notion, and we made a printout of where everybody was. And it was the night that the Masons, the local Masons, also had a ladies' night at the same hotel. And there were two maitre d's. So the one that was with us, we'd been there virtually all day. I think we arrived at 10 in the morning to set everything up. We had like 3 million balloons to blow up. Never again, Mike. What were my fingers like? And... the one who was looking after the Masons was in a right mess. They hadn't even brought a table plan, much less who was allergic to what. And he was in a complete mess. The one came in to us and everything was just, it was like we had music playing. It was the light would dim and there's me just blowing balloons up and tying them onto gold strings. And he said, would you mind terribly if I went next door? We've got a bit of a problem. And I thought, I know you have. I've heard all about it. So he said, you know, because I'm your maitre d' and I would be staying with you all night. And I said, no, go for your life. Because he came in and he was talking about the dietaries. And what I'd done was, I said, to make it easier for your servers, I said, they're colour coded. So I said, if they've got a nut allergy, it's red. So you immediately know the cards are colour coded. And if it was something else, then they were blue or green. Vegetarians were green or vegans were green. And he just looked round and he said, well, you know, I'll need a list. Like, it's not enough to have it on the table. And I said, here's the list. I said, there's the list alphabetically by person. There's the list by table. There's the list by something else. And he just went, wow. So he spent an hour in the other room trying to sort the mess out and then came back and everything was still calm where we were. So, yeah, that started life in Notion. And then we took it out. I can't remember where it ended up, you know. But it wouldn't have been Affinity Publisher, not at that time. But now, of course, it would be Affinity Publisher. Oh, there's the Maggie Smith link. Right, I'll take that link as well and I can watch that. She's just so good, isn't she, Tracy Ullman? She is fantastic. There was another one, wasn't there, who was in Bad Girls, who was really good at impressions. Doc, Shell...
Juliet's, not Juliet.
No, it wasn't
Michelle
Juliet.
Stevenson, wasn't it? Shell Dockley.
Shell Dockley.
She was in Glory, wasn't she?
I believe... Oh, yeah, she was, wasn't she? I'm trying to remember.
Deborah Stevenson.
Deborah Stevenson, that's the one. Oh, yeah, she wasn't she in it when Bradley Walsh was in it?
Yeah.
Was she Bradley Walsh's wife or something?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I've got that one, Renee. Thank you very much. I will have a look at that. I will have a look at that. I wish I was clever like you, Brian. Do you know, I remember the line, but I can't remember the whole ad. What was the ad for? Chocolate fingers. Oh, don't mention chocolate fingers.
Yes,
my dad, in the last 2-3 months of his life, just went crazy on chocolate fingers. So Mum wasn't going out. She was staying there with him because he, by this stage, was not in a good way. So when he said, chocolate fingers, she's like, you know, do you want anything? What do you really, really, really want? Chocolate fingers. So I said, it's all right. Mike'll pick them up on the way home. So Mike would, when he was doing shopping or passing Tesco's or whatever, he would get a box of chocolate fingers. Weren't they 99 pence?
Yeah.
Right. They were 99 pence. And then this particular night, he'd run out of chocolate fingers. So Mum says to me, can Mike get some chocolate fingers? She said, don't go out of his way. Get them round the corner. Now, round the corner, there's two shops. There's a Tesco, but they never have anything in stock. They don't have any of their value brands or anything like that. It's a garage with a bit of a Tesco. It's quite a decent sized Tesco. But literally, they never have whatever it is I want. I can guarantee whatever it is I want, they've not got it. The other one is the Co-op, and the Co-op is not renowned for being cheap. How much were those?
£2.15.
That's right, £2. Mike didn't just use the effing, he actually said the bad word.
Bad words were said.
Couldn't get over it. So normally they're 99 pence, and at the shop round the corner, £2.15 for the same thing. And he said, I can't charge Mum that. I said, just charge her the 99p and be done with it. But in the end, she overheard us because that became one of our sayings, £2.50. And she said, how much? I said, sorry, Mum, but you know, it's Dad and he needs his biscuits. He'll never hear the end of it if he doesn't have his biscuits. So every time somebody mentions chocolate fingers, I don't think I wish I was clever like you, Brian. I think £2.15. I think I have seen a tiny bit of her doing Angela Merkel, and she's brilliant, isn't she? She actually looks identical to them. I would say Deborah Stevenson's probably strongest on the voice, but she is very, very good. Who was the other one who did, Spitting Image? The one who was related to Paul McCartney and Ted... Kate Robbins. Oh, Kate, yeah. Robbins.
There's Ronnie Oconee, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she's with the other fella. I know the one you mean. Dark hair, tall. Angus something.
Dayton?
No, not Angus Dayton.
Ronnie Oconee, she's a good impressionist.
Yeah, but she's with the other fella. Can't remember his name. He does the sports lot.
Gerard Hall?
No. No. No.
Oh, you mean not with with?
No, not with with,
not
no.
Not with with.
God.
Right.
See what I have to put up with. Oh, I've got another link.
Jason Manford.
No. The one who does all the sports impressions, been doing it for years.
Alistair McGowan.
Him, Alistair McGowan, there you go, you see. Oh, I'm going to enjoy watching that Fingers add-on. Though that's right, Harry the Spider's coming out party. I do remember it. What year was that? Does it say? Harry the Spider's coming out party, I definitely remember, because you know what I'm like with spiders. Oh, I've got to see all these things. Happy days of our youth. I wonder how young Jonathan's doing now. Young Jonathan headed off, but not before he'd seen the pictures that we'd put in. So I'm sure he'll recover in the end. Bless. So that's the first official day, isn't it? Of our Friday, I guess, was the first official day. But yes, the first day of the week has gone. So we need to make impact with the rest of the week, don't we, Mike?
Yeah.
We do. Mind you, it was a good start to it. We had the snow that was promised. And United won the match in the end. Toilet trick
worked.
Was deployed and worked. It was successful.
I don't know if D's in, but the toilet trick worked.
It did. It's not always that the toilet trick worked, but it did work this time. So that was good last night. I even went to bed reasonable. Well, when I say reasonable, you know, this side 3 o'clock, which is reasonable to me. Have we had any Apple news today? One thing Apple have been banging on about, and I'm just sat here shaking my head, and I'm thinking, do you know what? It gets about as much coverage as Ping did. Who remembers Ping? Ping was Apple's attempt at a social network wrapped around music. Apple Arcade. They've added 20 classic games or something, and I'm like, do you know what? I couldn't care less. I really could not care less. What else has been going on? Not much, to be honest. Not much. One thing I did look at was a vacuum cleaner that did itself. It's an automated vacuum cleaner, Mike. You just push a button and leave it to it.
Oh.
I'm not quite sure how it'd cope in here, but it might be worth a try. It's only $40. So it can't be that good, can it? But it was $40. No other news apart from that from Apple. Now they've announced WWDC, that's it. They've gone back in the bunker for 2 months. So we probably won't hear a word from them. Will we, girl? Why don't you leave your feet alone? Your feet aren't dirty, stop nibbling them. Renee tried arcade for a month. Turned out you don't like arcade games. As you know, the only games I've ever played and enjoyed, I mean, I do have a games folder on my phone. And this will come as a shock to everybody, I know. Let's have a look at the games folder. It's pretty poor. Some of these games I've had since I very first got an iPhone. There are only there's six in the folder. The first one's called Morocco, and it's like a reverse-eye type game. Othello, isn't it? Then there's one called Dabble. I must admit, I like Dabble. Dabble gives you I don't even know if these are still available. Dabble gives you a pyramid of letters, and your job, should you choose to accept it, is to turn these things into proper words. And the first time I tried it, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. You know, there's no way I can do that fast. That I can't do that. Don't be ridiculous. But actually, when you start trying it, it's doable. It is doable. It's challenging, but doable. So I thought, well, I like that kind of thing. So there's that game. And then I've got one called Sudoku. So it's a standard Sudoku thing. I just picked the one that looked prettiest. I've got Solitaire, which has been there since forever. I've got one that came out a while ago called Super Sharp. And it's like a physics game. You basically have to cut pieces off stuff. So like part A touches part B and then you've done that round. That, again, is quite challenging. I like that. And the only other game I've got, and I've only got this one because of what it is, it's called Panda Pop. And it's got pandas on it. So basically that's it. It has pandas. And the game's changed quite a bit, to be honest. Looking at this, it's changed quite a lot. But I like the icon. So I downloaded the game. And that's it. That's all I've got. I just... I get very, very bored quickly with games. Games not my thing. One of the first things I got from the App Store was Cro-Mag Rally. Who's tried Cro-Mag Rally?
Was that the first one that we got?
Yeah, it was that one way where you actually held it sideways and kind of moved with the car.
And I had Super Monkey Ball.
Super Monkey Ball, was, I think mainly for me it was like, oh, I've got this phone and I want to showcase what it can do. Oh, that's a good game. But I never got like past round three or four. Honestly, I didn't. I've just got no patience for games.
Ronnie plays Word Feud. Didn't Kim mention that the other day?
Yeah, Word Feud apparently is very popular. You may well find Mike's mother on there, Renee. She wanted to play it, but then didn't she get propositioned by two guys who sent her DMs and she decided she didn't like that?
No, that was a story on that bite. And I said I'd warn me mother.
Yeah, it'll happen. It's a only sure matter of will. Time. I'm sure she said she'd got some dodgy messages.
No, I think she did.
She did after we'd said it.
I think you're
so
right.
It was a good job she'd been warned. Oh, yeah. So, arcade, really? I can't see it. It feels like it's not a success. It feels like they don't talk about it enough. That it's just something that's there as part of Apple One. And I wonder how many people have subscribed independently from Apple One. Because to me, it doesn't count as a proactive subscription to arcade if it's via Apple One. Because you've probably got it for something else. How many people would sign up for Apple One because of Apple Arcade? I think that is going to be a very small number. So I don't think that should count. But, you know, Apple know their own business best. Well, that's what they say anyway. And that's it for the Apple news. So, there was an interview with Timmy today. I wonder why Timmy is giving interviews to other media outlets and not MacBytes. I wonder why. Do you think he's running scared? Do you think he's looked at Elaine's list of questions in Notion and done one? I think
you're
that's...
probably not his favourite interviewer.
How would he know? I have never interviewed him.
You're the Laura Kunzberg of the Mac world.
Oh, in other words, Timmy would be made very uncomfortable.
Yes.
He did say, though, there was actually part of this thing. He probably won't be at Apple in 10 years. And half of me thought, thank God for that. And the other half thought, oh, no, what Muppet will we have taking over? Who would you want to run Apple if it wasn't Tim Cook? There's a question. Why can't they give us a pick and mix Apple One subscription? Because they're Apple, Tracy, and they want you to spend a fortune. If you could pick and mix, which ones would you pick and which ones would you miss? I already have iCloud and that's it. We've got no other services from them, have we?
No.
No, I don't do the Apple Music thing. I do Spotify. And really, that was because Spotify's like been there for years. I think Apple Music got just too complicated for me. I'm like, there's this thing where you can upload your own tracks and then iTunes match back in the day. And then there was music and then there's this and then there's that. And I'm like, do you know what? Can we just keep this simple? But I think once you are, we actually took our subscription down, didn't we, in Spotify and saved some money. So I think I only pay about £6 a month because it's shared with Mike. So I don't think I'd be persuaded with Apple Music at all. I don't really want iCloud. And you know,
Tracy says Craig.
Now you're talking, Tracy. Actually, I could live with that. I didn't think anybody could come up with anybody that I'd like, but Tracy, bang on. Excellent. Look at Renee. Tried Cro-Mag Rally once. That's the thing. It's like, oh, that's cool. That's really nice. Okay, where's my mail? I'm just not a gamer. I'm not. Pong! I do believe Pong is one of the apps they've added, isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm sure. Have a look. Check Apple Arcade, 20 arcade games, and see if one's Pong. I'm sure it is. Pong's still going strong, you know. You see, that's it. You got like a game. I mean, I had a game that was similar to Pong. It was a dedicated games console thing called Blip. It was like it played tennis as well. You could do two-player tennis or one-player tennis. So it was a bit like Pong. And do you know what's fantastic? That was 1978. And the concept of that game is still going strong today.
There you go. It's on the App Store.
There you go. You can get Pong. Your world is now complete. You can get Pong.
Even I could draw that logo.
Ooh, Renee makes a good idea as well. Johnny. Would Johnny be tempted back? Tell you what, who's heard of Johnny doing anything since, with or without Apple? He seems to have just disappeared into the ether. I know he likes a quiet life. And there was talk about him and his wife wanting to bring their children back. He's got twins. I don't know if he's got any more. Wanting to bring them back to England for their education. But I would have thought, if you've got the money he's got, you could get them educated anywhere in the world. And the other thing to think about is, you know, global lockdown, global pandemic. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be educated anywhere. So all these specialists in distance education, like in Australia, where they used to have the flying teachers flying in every now and then, and the education was done on the radio. You know, well, everybody's doing that now. So it doesn't really matter where they are. But he was supposed to be doing projects with Apple, and I don't think he's done any projects with Apple. Because surely if he had, we'd hear about it.
He's bringing his design talents to Airbnb.
To do what?
I don't know. Just reading it.
That was talked about, I'll grant you. It was supposed to be a contract. I think that was the first contract that he got. But again, you got to wonder, haven't you? Airbnb sprung out of nowhere. Okay, they're not short of cash. But what would they have him doing? Unless they're building like the Airbnb range of hotels, why would you do that? Doesn't make sense. But either Johnny or Craig would be very interesting, wouldn't it? I wonder who we'll end up with. Somebody more Muppetish than anybody we've had before would be my guess. Apple Music's pretty good. I just find it, when you've got Spotify, you hardly ever go into it. So I don't. So actually, the last time I had to go into it was a fiasco. We were going on a retreat. You know, come along, it'll be peaceful. Yeah, right. So we got there and it was like, oh, peaceful day. I'd taken my two phones with me, which at the time was an iPhone 7 and an iPhone 6 Plus. So they were both pluses. And that was all I'd taken with me. I'm going on retreat. I shouldn't really have had a phone, should I? Gets there, tries to get into the bit where we would have breakfast before we started, to find the priest in a total panic. He'd brought a CD and the CD wouldn't play in the CD player. And there was a particular song that he wanted. So I said, I'll go sort it out. So I went to sort it out. I got iTunes installed. I thought, we'll play it from there. You couldn't install anything on this computer. It was a school computer. What a morning. I ended up, we were all right apart from like one track. I could find all of them apart from this one track. And whatever this track was, it was one that was incredibly popular and had been recorded by like 9 million artists, and he couldn't remember who the artist was. So he's booking people in for this retreat, and I'm stood there with Apple Music, because it wasn't on Spotify, playing song after song. I said, is it this one? No. Is it this one? No. Is it this one? No. Plays one. Oh, no. I thought, we're never going to find it. We're never going to find it. And it, according to him, the success of the entire retreat was based on having this song. I thought, well, why didn't you bring it on a cassette tape? Because we'd have more chance of playing it. So eventually I pressed play and he went, oh, that's it. I thought, thank God for that. So I bought it. But that was my last foray, I think, into Apple Music. And then we had the fiasco of I had to sit at the front and play the music. And obviously we needed to get it over the speaker system that wasn't Bluetooth. And you're thinking to yourself, not an issue. Not an issue, that. No, no. Plug it in. iPhone 7. Plug it into what? No headphone jack. Obviously, you can get an adapter. Did I mention it was a retreat? I had not taken my usual 47 case loads, suitcase full of cables. I had two phones and that was it. So I had to, I ended up playing it on one, recording it on the other, and then plugging the second one in. And I said to Mike at the end of the day, I'm never, ever, ever going on a retreat again. It's too stressful. Oh, but Apple Music saved the day that day, Renee. It did. Not to buy it, but it saved the day. Fitness for Tracy, Apple TV Plus and iCloud, if it was a better deal than the 79p one. How much do you get for 79p these days? I can't remember. You get 5 gig free, don't you?
200.
No, it's 50, surely. Is it 50 gig for 79p? 79. I recommended Nina do it because it kept mithering her. But I don't know. I took
why
the two...
am I paying 79p to Apple? Yeah. 50 gig.
50 gig. So you don't think 50 gig for 79p is a good deal? How much space will be useful to you? Because Dropbox used to have what I thought was a useful delineation in the storage. I think they had the free one that was up to, was it 20 gig? You could earn up to 20 gig free. But I think it was something pathetic for free, wasn't it? 2 gig. And I think the first one was 100 gig and then the next one was 250. Now, that amount of online storage for things like settings and a few pickies is probably enough. But then when you get up to a terabyte or 2 terabytes or 3 terabytes, you're spending like £16-17 a month, which is way too much. Plus the fact I don't need that level of storage. I do not need 3 terabytes in the cloud on Dropbox. I pay for 3 terabytes in the cloud on Dropbox. But how that happened was I'm paying for the features Dropbox has, not the amount of storage. I can't get the number of features, the features that Dropbox has on any other cloud service. So it was a case of I'm not interested in the 3 terabytes of storage particularly, but I need these features. And it was things like one is a particular way of marking up a PDF. And another one is putting comments, timed comments at the playhead of a video or audio file. And there was another service offering exactly that feature. And that was something like £1,000 a year. It was ridiculous. And I said to Mike, I would love that feature. You know, because what happens is I check Mike's videos, he checks mine. I check his audio, he checks mine. And if there's any comments on it, we had to like put the comments somewhere else. They weren't attached to the audio or video. And then you had to go and scrub the playhead to find them. But Dropbox enabled you to put timed comments on audio and video. So you can actually review it. Just click, 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 and it will take you through and automatically play it. It is fabulous. But I don't actually need 3 terabytes of storage. I'm certainly not using 3 terabytes of storage. Tracy's talking Pong on an Amstrad. I think I saw Pong on a Sinclair Spectrum. Tracy wishes that her sons had a few years in a school in Britain. It would have given them a good amount of cultural baggage you couldn't create for them and they miss out on it. Maybe that's why they want to come home, but that was the story that I heard. Particularly after Steve Jobs died, because, you know, he was big friends with Steve Jobs and didn't feel that the company were going in the right direction after that, which makes total sense. Ooh, 200 gig. that to me, 200, 250, I think most people could get away with that. And that's $4 Canadian. What's that in our money? Let me have a look. I have that on speed dial to work it out. So four. Why don't you let me type that in there? Right, let's have $4, but not US. Where's Canadian? £2.29. Oh, so I think that for us is £2.49, which would be the £2.29 plus VAT. I guess even that adds up though, doesn't it? I buy 2 terabytes of storage from iCloud, use nothing like that, not for data. Why I've got 2 terabytes is that I back all my devices up to iCloud and don't think twice about it. So all of my iPads and phones and stuff, they just back up to iCloud and be done. Prior to that, I was like maintaining local disks for it. And I can do without that. To be honest, I can do without that. So that's why I took that amount of storage. But I've actually moved all of my data off iCloud. There's some stuff I can't move off there. So I can't move the Ulysses stuff off there. But you know how Affinity creates Affinity folders for each app? And they're on iCloud. Not anymore, they're not. I first of all moved them to Google Drive, but I have 1 terabyte of storage on Google Drive, so it made more sense to move those to Dropbox. So I am migrating a lot of stuff to Dropbox because I'm paying for it anyway, so I might as well. But iCloud is purely for backup purposes. I've got so many devices. Well, the 14 iPads and 3 phones and an iPod Touch. So there's lots of devices backing up to iCloud, so it's used quite a bit of space anyway. Renee signed up for Apple One and then found out it's 50 gig. Not enough. You want 2 terabytes now. €10 per month. And all your files are in the cloud. The majority of what I work with is actually in the cloud, which is quite surprising me. And I do try and keep as much as possible, either if the files are a reasonable size. Obviously, I don't put raw recordings in the cloud because they're just too big. So they have like dedicated local drives. But I'm trying to put the majority of what I'm working on in the cloud. It just makes it so much easier that you can switch to another machine. Had an interesting experience last week with that. I was working on the presentation for Friday night after hours on my iMac. And then I ended up in the bedroom working on my laptop whilst looking after Lola. And as I finished with the presentation on the laptop, I thought I better make sure that I actually close PowerPoint down rather than just leave it there, because I'm wondering about it synchronizing back. So I left it for a bit, and the laptop's on Biggles, which was probably never the wisest thing that I did, but it was on Biggles. And I left it about 10 minutes before I closed the lid. And I thought, and I could actually have shut down. The next day, I come to the presentation and I get this message that says, in fact, it let me open it on the iMac. And I didn't notice that there was anything missing until it said, conflict. And what do you want to do? So I thought about it and I said to do one thing and it did another, which turned out to be just as well. What had happened was it obviously just hadn't saved it back fast enough. But what Dropbox did, I mean, Dropbox must have been aware of the content somehow, because it took charge of what you want to do. So I ended up with 2 files and it said Elaine's conflicting changes. When I opened them, I had stuff in one that wasn't in the other and vice versa. And I thought, good grief, iCloud would have just deleted the lot. So I did manage to piece it back together, just like choose one to be the master and then copy in what was missing. That's the only time I've ever had any kind of conflict with Dropbox. And it handled it beautifully. So I was very pleased about that. Any fear of a cloud crash? Biggest problem I have, Mark, is if it's in the cloud and there isn't a local copy. Now, with Dropbox, you could choose to make it cloud only, or you could have a local copy. If I don't have a local copy of it and the internet's gone down, that's my biggest problem. Or when the electric went off the other week. But I guess you'd have a problem in those circumstances anyway. So I don't particularly worry about it. Now, the files that I work with, like my presentation, I got so burnt with Keynote, which was an absolute pain in the backside, just deleting content, and there was no way to get it back, that I built this solution in Carbon Copy Cloner, which made a backup of all my Keynote files every 15 minutes. And it backed them up even if they were open. And that I had going for about 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And then when I moved to PowerPoint, I thought, well, I'm going to do the same thing. So every 15 minutes, PowerPoint files are backed up. And again, it doesn't have to be saved to have the changes that I've made saved. So the other night when I was doing after hours, I hadn't stopped my notifications and a notification came through and it was the 15 minute backup. So I do it that way and I back those up to a local drive. And I also, when I'm backing them up, I don't overwrite the previous backup. It just adds another one. So it's like a sequential list of backups. And then, you know, like every couple of weeks, I can probably delete the ones from 3 weeks ago. And that's what I do. So if I couldn't get to my cloud, I would have a local backup of all the files that I am working on in a zip file. and they are on what I call my scratch disk. My scratch disk is a 1 terabyte external hard drive that isn't backed up, because that is the backup. Oh, he's just done it now. There you go. It's 8 o'clock. PowerPoint files backed up on Dropbox. Took 9 seconds. And I'm done. So I would open that and work on that, I think. That's the way that I would handle it. Right. Well, it's 8 o'clock. And we've got an appointment. More on that later in the week. So we will head off. What fun we've had tonight, reminiscing about adverts and Midsummer Murders. Now, whenever that Midsummer Murders comes on, don't miss it. I giggled my way through it, the whole thing. I actually think with Midsummer Murders, I don't really care about the murders. I just think it's really well written. And I love the new pathologist, Fleur, who is Annette Badland. And I looked up because I thought, I wonder how old she is now. I first saw her in Bergerac and thought she was fantastic. All the things about her, not one of them mentioned Bergerac. I thought she was in it for the entire first series. Didn't mention it. But if you can get to the ITV player, do watch that. It was worth it, trust me. It was a giggle all the way through. But for the moment, for tonight, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.